Artlist IO.
Every single day I feel the pressure. Double up the work, let's make it extra. Working so my mother get arrested. Working like I never knew I'm best, yo. Every single day I feel the pressure.
Let's go. Welcome back. Welcome back to that one studio. The What Are You Made Of show with your boy C-Rock. I'm in the house today with Ari Tablib. I hope I pronounced that right because I didn't check before the show.
You got it.
All right, good. I was waiting for validation there. Thank you, Ari. We're in the building with Ari Tablib today. He's a 27-year-old financial advisor and podcast host who manages over $100 million for his clients. He is the host of the Early Retirement Podcast, which has received over 200,000 downloads this year, and is the vice president at one of the fastest growing financial firms in the country, Root Financial. Ari, welcome to the show.
Love being here. You're the man. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, man. No, I mean, I really do think you're the man. But I'll take it. I'm the man. So Ari, listen, man, we start the show the same way every time. And by the way, I want to thank all the people that are watching and listening for all of your support. If it's your first time here, welcome. You're welcome to come back anytime. This show is all about the ingredients that have gone into making my guests who they are, to find out what things they went through, the good, the bad, the ugly, to make sure that we all understand we're all in this thing together. I know sometimes we feel alone in entrepreneurship and when we do different things, and we're really not. And so that's what this show is all about. So, all right, I'm going to ask you the question. Yeah. What are you made of?
I'm made of optimization. And so my nickname here at the firm is, they'll say, we know Ari's weekend wasn't fine. Ari's weekend was optimized because you have worked too hard to not really get the most out of life. And so when people are coming to me going, hey, I want to retire early, no matter what age, like most of us, we don't want to work forever. You want to do what you want to do. And so I think you've just worked too hard to not get the most out of it. And so that's why I love what I do.
Yeah. No, I love it. I mean, that's a great view being a 27-year-old, you know, and by the way, 27 is just a chronological age.
Yeah.
You know, some of us come out right away and we're just ballers right away as kids. It's just a soul spirit thing. I really believe that. So anyway, Ari, listen, yeah. I want to know your story, man. Tell me your story, dude.
Yeah. So I did all the wrong financial spreadsheet answers, I'll say. So when I was younger, I went to an auto shop and I could tell they looked at me, they just kind of scanned me up and down and they threw out a number saying it's going to cost $1,000 to fix my car. I knew that wasn't right. Like I knew a little bit about cars, not a lot, but I knew enough that $1,000 for my issue wasn't the issue. But what they were doing is they were looking at me and they were trying to scam me. And I went, I don't want anyone I care about to ever be taken advantage of. Just like this feeling I had. So I went, you know what? I want to be a financial advisor. Early on, I saw, because I'm from Malibu, California, I saw the risk of bad planning. Barbara Streisand's on my street, Julia Roberts. I'm from Point Doom originally. So I saw the risk of bad planning because I've seen people with a lot of money lose a lot of money. And I saw the value of good planning. Those stories of how do the ultra wealthy pay 0% in taxes? Like that stuff I'm doing for my clients. Like not full Ozark, like the Netflix show, like legal stuff here. And the whole vibe of why I love what I do now is, you know, my parents, they were burned by multiple advisors. And so a lot of people I know have been burned. And I just think, to be honest, it's not people's fault. There's a lot of bad advisors out in the industry. And so when I graduated school, this was 5-6 years ago now, I was the quote unquote Excel whiz kid and went and worked for the fancy Beverly Hills firm. And I hated it. I was clocking in and out to go to the bathroom. And so I quit my job during COVID and I started the Early Retirement Podcast. And my girlfriend used to joke, she goes, Ari, why do you talk to the wall every Wednesday? Because literally no one was listening. So the first year I got 1,000 downloads. I'm like, you know what? I still help someone. Last month was 40,000 downloads. And now I manage over $100 million. I love what I do. And so I just want to help more people know when they no longer need to work financially. Mike, I know you because I just listen to your podcast, but I also just know a lot of your listeners. Look, we're not going to stop grinding. It's what we do. But I want to make sure that you are doing what you want to do because you want to do it, not because you have to do it.
Yeah, damn right, man. With who I want, when I want, where I want, how I want, that's freedom.
Yes, sir.
You know, and also, you know what the other thing freedom is that feeling good and about yourself and you know, having some kind of security, not just financial, but security and understanding that you do have control, more control than you think you do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one thing that I argue about control, it comes from responsibility and knowledge. And knowledge is the cure for insecurity. So when you have someone like yourself that knows what they're doing, and then they can give people some information to learn knowledge, then it gives them more control, more responsibility, and more security. not just financial, but security in the knowledge. So I love that. And I love that you started that and you said, you know what, I'm just going to keep going. Because let me tell you something, everything that we do in life, everything takes more than we think it does. Everybody underestimates the amount of effort it takes to achieve a goal. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's consistency and leaning in. So I'm proud of you for doing that, man. So how old were you when you first got into financial business?
Yeah, to be honest, I was 19 years old. So I got in at 19 and I was like, hey, there's some value to this, but I saw some shady stuff like we've all probably heard about. I went, hey, I want to be one of the good guys here. So 19 when I started, and you know, I was the kid early on, lemonade stand, the whole deal. And I just wanted to make sure at the end of the day, like I want a lot of money. And what I've now found, and you know, I'm still early on compared to everything you've got built, but I want to make sure that I'm able to help as many people as humanly possible while not forgetting myself. So if I told my clients, hey, you know, go buy this yacht or go do this fun stuff that you want to do, but I wasn't personally actually going out and, you know, I bought a semi-professional soccer team. Does that make sense on paper? No. Okay. But my brother and I are having the time of our life. He played pro for 10 years. I played in college. I love soccer. So I went and bought a semi-professional team at my age. Does that make sense? Of course not. But I'm telling my clients, go live an awesome life. Don't wait until you're 65, retire, and you don't have your health and energy anymore.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. How much does semi-pro team cost? You don't have to tell us exact, but like what's a, just for context.
Yeah. Yeah. So my brother and I, we went out and bought it for $10,000, and I'm very transparent. And then some of our players, you know, some of them are very good. I want to pay them because I want to help us win games. And if we can grow and grow and grow, like, I'm not saying we're going to become like the Premier League teams, but you know what? We're doing some fun stuff and having the time of our life.
So, you want to play, you want to be able to pay the players when you can and all that. And then, possibly see where it takes. Right. I mean, I love that.
Yeah.
All right. So I had a question as far as growing up, you grew up in Malibu, yep. Right? First of all, like I've never been to Malibu yet. I've been in LA and all that, but I haven't been to Malibu yet.
Yeah.
And what was that like, first of all? And then also second question, what did your parents do for a living?
Okay, so what was it like? There were characters, okay? That's putting it nicely. A lot of characters in Malibu. And so I grew up as one of the weird kids because, you know, my family, we didn't have tens and hundreds of millions of dollars like people who I was around all day, every day. I mean, when you see it in movies of kids going to Malibu High and a Lamborghini at 16, 17, that's legit. Like that was happening constantly. So in Malibu, there was a lot of characters. And my parents, they make movies for a living. So they're doing documentaries. It's not a ton of money, but they love what they do. And my dad, all he cares about is surfing. His whole life is revolved around surfing, and he wanted the best waves ever. And that's Point Doom. And that's why we live where we are. He said, I'd rather live in a shack in Point Doom in Malibu than be in the valley. So he was like, that's where we're living. So it's like, great. They knew, you know, if I wanted to go to school, I knew I was playing a sport. It was very clear growing up. So I was good with numbers always, kind of innately, but I was like, you know what? I love soccer, so I'm doing that. So I grew up in Malibu, and my kind of story is, you know, I'm growing up around these kids that truly have so much money, and I saw the wear and tear it brought to the kids. And what I don't want to have happen is anyone I care about to ever actually become a burden to their kids just because they had a lot of money. And I'm like, I couldn't even understand that first. And then I'm realizing, I'm like, hey, a lot of the kids I'm growing up around, like, they're not grateful. They're not respectful. They don't even know what grinding means. It's because they grew up with money. And so money can become a burden if you actually have too much. And I didn't even understand that until growing up. And I'm like, hey, now I'm getting it. Like I'm actually seeing the issue with having too much money, which at first I always just thought more is better, but definitely not the case.
Yeah, man. You know, all liabilities become assets and all assets become liabilities at some point. You know, that's something my mentor taught me. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? You're right with that. So it makes sense. And that's why it's important to constantly check your assets and liabilities on a daily basis, not just financial, but the areas of your life, like, right? Like your relationships, your thoughts, your behaviors, your diet, all the stuff in life. You should be looking at liabilities and assets, what's helping me and what's hurting me. I love that you said that. So then growing up in Malibu, like what are some of the like good stories you have about celebrities out there and all that? Give us one that comes to mind.
Yeah, how long do we want to go? My dad, so a few, which is Mark Burnett. So he created Shark Tank and a lot of well-known shows. His son was on my soccer team. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He was one of the nicest guys, his son, and a lot of people that might not know this, but Bella Hadid, Gigi Hadid, they went to Malibu High School. And some of the stories that I would hear and some that I would actually see, one that I actually saw is growing up, they're like, once again, I'm putting it nice, characters. Some of these people really nice, some of these people true characters. But I once heard a teacher just ask one of the, I'm not going to say the celebrity because I don't want to get them, you know, shut off. But what happened is a teacher asked them, they're like, hey, do you have your homework assignment? And they said, my nanny's going to bring it in a few hours. And they legitimately said that with in high school with absolute confidence of like, yeah, like it's on its way. Almost like, how dare you ask, teacher? It's coming. And you're just like, are these real? And to be honest, I kind of felt bad for him. I'm not going to say who this person was because it's bigger than the Hadids of the world. Okay. But this person is legitimately like, I see them on Instagram now and TikTok, and some people might be able to connect the dots after this. But the point is, I want to make sure growing up that no matter how much money I have or anyone I care about, like our kids aren't ungrateful. Like that they're not going, my nanny's bringing my homework. Like most schools, it's my dog ate my homework. In Malibu, it's my nanny's bringing my homework. Yeah. So that's one of the major stories. The others is, you know, a lot of people in Malibu, it's no joke. Like many people know Erewhon nowadays in LA is that grocery store that costs $1 trillion because it does. But people would bring, you know, there was one celebrity that came with a legit like chef to work. Like they bring their chef just to make their lunch warm at work, and they couldn't figure out why they didn't have friends. And you're like, hey, like you're just, I just couldn't even believe they couldn't comprehend the fact that other people weren't resonating with them. So people would bring private chefs, and all the athletes were just, hey, I'm kind of a rock star. What they didn't understand is, hey, you're not at Sierra Canyon. You're not at Oaks Christian. Okay. You're not actually one of the big dogs, but they thought they were. And so just characters all around Malibu. I could go on for days, but.
So wouldn't it be like people would bust their chops and pick on them because they were doing that stuff versus.
Yep.
Damn, that's wild, man.
Yeah, it was wild. So, like people, like the celebrities, like the mental health stuff you see nowadays, I get it. Like they were picked on so early on. Like my girlfriend and I were talking about the Home Alone kid growing up. Like this kid was a superstar. Everyone knew Home Alone. And now, you know, the mental fortitude you have to get through that. That's why I love your show, because it's not just how much assets do you have. It's like, hey, are you actually mentally strong? Like, are you actually, why is my life easy? Well, I get up and work out so early that like I already went through such a hard part of my day. Nothing else you could tell me is going to be tough. I had the worst college soccer experience out of almost everyone I talked to. And my coach said, hey, are you're a great player. That's not my concern. My concern is you're small. He literally told that to me. I'm like, you recruited me. What's going on here? So I went and played soccer in Seattle because the only school that would actually take me. So I went to Puget Sound up there, and I loved soccer. And I wanted to be up there truly because I wanted to play in the rain and the ball moves faster. Like I'm obsessed to an unhealthy degree. Okay. Obviously, I bought a semi-professional team, so you can see that. But the premise is, I love it so much that when this coach wouldn't play me but said I was better, I couldn't understand it. So it lit a fire under me of, I'm going to show you. So I'll still work out and I will put on old commentary of video. This is how crazy I am. I'll put on old commentary of video or, you know, game film or footage from training of any kind just to hear his voice to make me anger to work out harder. Like that is what I think through. And honestly, people would say that's psycho. And I'm like, you know what? I work out better that way.
I love it. Isn't that, you think that's the most challenging time in your life hearing that from him, or what's the most challenging thing you've ever gone through? What comes to mind?
Yeah. Great question. Most challenging thing ever is 100%. And this sounds white, like I get it, but it's the fact that when I was kind of the rock star and superstar of soccer growing up in Malibu and this and that, I always had a ball, didn't have a ton of friends, no girls, nothing like that. You know, I've always been short. I'm 5'4". And so I'm used to getting picked on. And then I get to school, I'm starting to make friends, and this coach is pretty much saying, you're good, but too bad. And that was the first time I went, well, life really isn't fair. And he just wanted someone who was big and strong. So I went and worked out like crazy for 2 years. I came into school 110 pounds. I left 145 pounds. And I was like, great, like I'm ready to start playing. He's like, nope, now I just don't like something else. And it made me go, okay, life really isn't fair. And so I'm always trying to prove myself. Before it was to prove him, like that's the reality. I want to prove him wrong constantly. And now I'm just realizing, you know, it really isn't about him. It took me this long, but it's about me. So that was the first hardest thing. The second hardest is, you know, I quit my job during a pandemic at a financial firm that was guaranteeing to make me hundreds of thousands of dollars at 25 years old. And my parents even, and they'll admit this to this today, they're like, hey, why are you even considering this? It does not make sense. You could be rich. Like this is going to happen. And I just didn't care because I hated it. And the whole world was like, this is a dream job. Why would you leave? So when I left and found my partner, James, like we hit it off and right away are like, hey, we can do something really special here. So we started our YouTube and podcast and all the tips and strategies. Like I'm super transparent. I tell everyone, here are the clients I work with. Here's how much money I'm managing. Like, I want you to know by the time you hire me that I'm your guy. And, you know, I'm young. I'm working with people that have millions of dollars. And they'll say, why you? And I've got responses that are like, don't hire me. Like, I don't want you to hire me unless you're excited to work with me. Most people hire a financial advisor or anyone financially because they're like, oh, I think I should do it. But, you know, boring Mike's just going to talk to me about numbers and graphs again. It's like, no, no, no. That's not how this works. We're talking about your life here. How much can you get out of life with your money? Most people do the opposite. Most people say, how much money can I get throughout my life? I don't do it that way. How much life can you get out of your money?
Did you ever have any interest being out in the LA area, Hollywood and all that near there? Any interest in getting into film and entertainment?
Yeah, good question. No, only because I saw what my parents went through and they loved it, but finances were always a stressor growing up. They never knew where the next paycheck was coming from. So that's why I think innately I went to the safety job of the fancy Beverly Hills firm with the lights and the parking and the blah, blah, blah. And then I realized, you know what? I'm not one of them. I was the only person in my office who didn't have an Audi. I brought my own lunch to work. I was weird. It didn't fit. I don't know what rules exist in life. And here's a good example for you. My brother and I were best friends. Then I have another brother who's also a best friend, but we're like this, okay? Now, my brother texted me. He said, I think I'm funnier than you. As opposed to me responding, I went out and did stand-up comedy, and then I sent him the clip of me doing it, okay? I don't know what awkward means. I just go out and do things, and it's because we live a fun life doing that. So I want to go do cool stuff, and I want people who are doing cool stuff around me.
What about investing in films?
Yeah, that is something that's on my radar. I've already had a few conversations with Netflix and CNBC, and I want to do that stuff, but I want to do it on my own terms versus what I've seen my parents go through where it's, hey, here's a $100,000 budget, make it work. I want to help 1 million people retire early. That's my goal. And so if for some people it's 62, but here's what too many people do is they'll retire early, meaning they did it on paper, and then they second guess going out to eat or taking a big trip or doing whatever. And to me, that's not an early retirement. Like, you didn't successfully retire early if you're still worrying about it. So if you're in your 40s or 50s or 60s, I would say you can retire early in your 30s. And people say, how could you say it? I go, well, what if you found a job you loved and you want to do it for 40 years? Like, don't go work a job that you hate for years just because it gives you a good salary.
Yeah, I agree
with
that.
It would be hard for me to tell clients to do it if I didn't do it myself.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. So then how did you, so when you went over to doing the podcast and the YouTube channel and all that, mm-hmm. talk to me about what you've seen happen from podcasting and in the YouTube from when you started till now. How's it changed the business, number one, or added mm-hmm. to it? And how's it changed your life?
Mm-hmm. Changed my business, number one. Truly, it changed my business because no one was focusing on people that wanted to retire early. Most people, it's you're going to retire between 65 and 95, and then you'll do what you want to do. You'll have 2 grandkids and yada, yada. And I find that too many people are cookie cutter. What that means is they'll say, Mike, how old are you? What's your risk tolerance? Okay. It'll spit out a model, some software. That software does not know what you want to do with your life. It does not know what you want to spend. So if your neighbor is retiring and you're not, you'll go, oh my God, am I doing something wrong? No, maybe you're in an awesome spot and they're not. You have no idea. So this concept of early retirement, the reason I do it is for tax purposes primarily. When you retire early, your income gets really low. And some people go, that's awesome. Like, I pay taxes my whole life. Now my income's low. And that's what I'm saying. Let's look at strategies to make sure you don't pay any more than you need to over the next 30 years of your life, 40 years. What most people do is they don't, is they have an opportunity not to pay taxes. They don't pay it. Look, I'm all about being patriotic, and I don't want you to pay more in tax than you need to. But I want to save you the most over your whole life, not just 1 year. Most people look at it in this very, very thin margin. So number one, it changed the business because I'm the only one that specializes in early retirement planning. And that's why thousands of people reach out to me and my firm, because we want to help people who truly have an interest of not just retiring at 65 and so on. So that's number one. It changed my life because I love my clients. And I didn't know I was going to get to say that. I didn't love my clients at my last firm, but my clients, they're teaching me more. Like, here I am, a 27-year-old managing $5 million for them. And they're like, Ari, you got to tell your clients, go spend more while they have their energy and health. Don't worry about health insurance. You're going to figure out how you're going to get that before 65. Like, all these things that most people don't even consider, like, I didn't consider it. So my podcast, it comes from my listeners. My listeners are sending me questions, saying, answer this for me. Give me real life stories. It's not your traditional boring advisor that's going to come on and bore you to death and you're going to fall asleep in your meetings, which, you know, I've seen my parents go through that.
And then for as far as a personal brand, I mean, yeah. Are you interested in becoming a celebrity in your space? Not necessarily for ego purposes, but obviously understanding
Sorry,
that
I know a little delay.
The more people know you, if you celebritize yourself, the more of an attraction model you create versus mm-hmm. a chase model. Yeah. Does that cross your mind?
It has a few times. And I always want to make sure, like, if you reach out to Dave Ramsey, you're not expecting to work with Dave Ramsey. You're like, you know what? He's put out some good stuff. Whether you like him or don't like him, there's resources. We all know him. I want to be similar where people reach out and they're not like, oh, I'm not getting to work with Ari, but they're getting someone on my team who absolutely follows the model and philosophy that I follow. And I want everyone to do that. I want you to get the most life out of your money, not the other way around. So, yes.
Yeah, yeah. I love it. All right, so it's freezing up a little bit, so I don't know when you're done. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're
man.
Good.
I don't know what's wrong with this system, man. And you know, the other thing is, like, I can't tell. For those listening, sometimes technical things happen and we just roll with it on the show, but yeah. I can't tell whether it's my bandwidth, your bandwidth. Like, I don't know how to fix it. It's just like kind of like we just got to deal with it. But anyway,
yeah.
What's the vision from here? Like, you know, do you keep yourself open, like, minded wise to, you know, say, hey, like, I could create some other kind of things as I go along with this? Like,
yep.
Maybe a reality show comes out of this because of the fact that, you know, I become a celebrity in my space and I'm a young buck that figured some things out. And this might be attractive to Netflix and all that. Like, have you ever thought of that? You keep an open mind or you kind of shut off to that?
No, totally. I'm open-minded to everything. I tell everyone, I don't marry any idea. Anyone who marries an idea, that's a dangerous person to me. Like, let's take all of our ideas, put them on the table. Which is the best one? Great. So when people are talking nowadays about pronouns and gender and this and that, like, I'm all for all that stuff. But like, when people are hiring people just because of XYZ, that's when I'm like, hey, what if there's a better actor out there? I don't care their skin color. I just want the best. And that's how I view my life. I just want to be around the best. So the sad reality of today, I only work with people who have more than a few million bucks because that's where I can help. It justifies my value and my time. I don't want it to be that way. I want to help as many people as humanly possible. And the way I can do that is through a Netflix, through a Hulu, through an Amazon. So I want to do some type of show telling everyone, hey, here are the things to think through. You want to make sure you can retire early? Great. What if you took a job? Maybe it paid less, but you loved it more. Ever consider that? Look in these options. What about tax strategy? Like, are you getting creamed every year? Consider doing this business, XYZ, like, really get creative and don't be cookie cutter. So yeah, like, I'm super open to all ideas.
So what's your thoughts on real estate investing versus stocks? And do you believe in, what's the word?
Yeah, I know it's still
diversifying,
positive,
so it's weird, or do you believe that, like, you find something that's good and you go all in on it?
Love it. I heard the latter end. I heard the beginning. So I heard real estate and then are you going to go all in on it?
Yeah. Yeah. Real estate versus stocks, bonds, mutual funds, and all that. Right? Are you a believer in diversification? Or are you a believer in finding something that works and going all in on it?
Love it. Yeah, and I saw it just cut off at the end, so I'll roll with it because I think audio picked this up. So sorry if you're gonna, any listener, sorry if you're gonna hear this twice. I know the podcasting world, so I see where you're coming from. So here's, I tell everyone this. I go, what's the ROH of an investment? They're like, what do you mean? I don't know what H stands for. I go, H stands for hassle. What's the return on hassle of any investment? So I have a few clients, they love real estate. It resonates with them. They love the idea. It's a tangible asset. There's tax benefits. They love it, okay? And you can get a great return. Like, I love real estate. If you do it well, it is epic, okay? Now, there's other clients that go, Ari, I know I could do better with real estate, but I don't want to deal with a roof leaking. I don't want to deal with a property manager. I don't want to deal with XYZ. I say, great. Then don't. Maybe there's a little bit less return, but then you don't have to deal with it. So some people come to me, Mike, and they need a very significant return in order to spend XYZ because once again, in Malibu, there's a lot of characters, okay? Some of these characters want to spend lots of money. I say, great, nothing wrong with that. Here's what we need to do to make it happen. Other people come to me, they're like, hey, I'm not trying to hit triples or home runs. I just need consistent income the rest of my life. I don't want to worry about anything else. I'm not trying to hit it out of the park. I say, great. Then I do like stocks and bonds. And so to me, it's a blend of all. Even if people come to me and they're like, I don't want to own tangible real estate can just be such a good diversification tool that I still want it in your portfolio just through something like a REIT where you're not actually on, you know, you're not on the property all the time. You're actually just passively owning real estate. So love real estate, love stocks, love bonds. It just totally depends on what you're looking for is the reality.
Gotcha. Thanks, man. Well, look, here, as we wind down, I have the final question here for you.
Go for it.
What's the most thing, like the biggest thing on your mind when you wake up in the morning right now? Like, what, I don't want to say bothers you, but what's on your mind, like, you know, the most right now when you wake up? Like, that could be stressing you out a little bit or driving you nuts a little bit or, you know, what is that thing?
I wake up and not even kidding. I wake up and I go, I'm not helping enough people. I wake up and I'm going, I'm not doing a good enough job marketing. There's a million brilliant people out there. And I just think we don't know about them because they're not marketing themselves well. So I wake up in the morning, I'm going, I need to help more people. Like, what can I do to help more people? So when I'm helping someone on a one-on-one chat, I'm saying, great, I like doing this, but it's because it makes me feel good. I'm helping that person. If I can help more people by having more people work with my firm or XYZ, whatever it is, like that's what makes me feel better because I know the value of the work I'm doing. I just need more people to know about it. So that's why I'm all about getting the word out there.
Love it, brother. Well, guys, listen, go check Ari out on the Early Retirement Podcast. It's successful. We've got a lot of downloads. That means somebody's listening to it. It must have some good value to it. And as you can see, listening to him, he knows what the hell he's talking about. So Ari, thanks for being here, brother.
You're the man. Thanks for having me.
All right, hang tight. Thank you all for listening or watching to the What Are You Made Of show here live from That One Studio. Appreciate you. However you're consuming this content, make sure you share this with your friends and family. Subscribe. Do all the things you're doing you're supposed to do. It's your boy C-Rock. Until next time, be that one.
Every single day.